All right. Well, good morning again. We're so glad everyone's here. Happy Father's Day. Let's rejoice in our God this morning and proclaim to him how overwhelmed we are with his grace and his goodness in our lives.
I see the work of your hands. Galaxies in a heavenly dance, oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming. I hear the sound of your voice, all at once it's a gentle and thundering noise, oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming.
Morning, WCF. Why don't you take a moment and let's meet each other, greet each other. So say hi to the person on your right. Turn on your right blinker. Woo-hoo! Wave hi. Turn on your left blinker. I don't see any blinkers going, so hands are going though. Does your horn work? There we go. I have something really super special for you guys. Testimonies are powerful. To be able to hear what God does in the lives of the believers is inspirational. To be able to be in that place and to hear about miracles and transformation, man, it just encourages the heart. So on this Father's Day, we have a testimony of a grandfather and his grandson that we want to share with you. So I'm going to invite Fred and Karsten Butcher to come on up. They're already here. Yeah, and they're going to share with you a testimony about something really super cool.
Several years ago, God placed upon my heart to be the patriarch of my family. And by that, what I mean is that I look for opportunities and pray that I'll be able to speak into the lives of my children, grandchildren, and extended family. So about a year ago, I began to ask the Lord about the lives of my grandchildren. And I really want God's will to be done in their lives because I realize that God's will for our lives is the very best thing possible that could ever happen to anybody if we accomplish God's will. He is so creative and so loving and so wise. And he says in his word that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works that we should walk in them. So if we fulfill the very purpose for which God created us, then life takes on just tremendous significance. And so I began to pray for my grandchildren. I asked God then that I could pray in his will for them. And then I thought, well, the best way to pray for their will is to look in the Word of God to see what God's will was. And so I began to ask God for a passage of Scripture for each one of my grandchildren that I could pray through. Well, my grandson, Karsten, a while back, he wasn't making very wise choices. And so I began to pray for him. And God gave me this passage of Scripture, and I turned it into a prayer. So let me read this prayer. Lord, I pray that Karsten may present his body to you as a living sacrifice, set apart to fulfill your purposes, acceptable to you. Show him how this is the only logical thing to do with his life. Lead him to the place where he chooses not to conform to this world, but chooses instead to transform himself by the renewing of his mind. Let his life demonstrate your good and well-pleasing and perfect plan for his life.
To define growing up, is it measured by age, by knowledge? If you wanted my opinion, being a grown-up isn't measured by either. In fact, I don't believe anyone can be fully grown up. We're always growing. High school has been a wild, ever-changing ride. I hit some pretty big highs and some really low lows. I even got kicked out, if that gives you a hint of the level of teenage angst I experienced. But now that I'm graduated and entering into a new chapter of my life, I've caught myself frequently wondering what type of man I want to be. Last year I spent living for myself. Everyone around me said that's what I should be doing, so I went with it. But as of recently, my mindset has shifted. Living for myself only led to nasty hangovers and just being plain lonely. And with all that's going on in the world this year, I've started realizing my mortality. That I'm not going to live forever and that it matters who I should really be living for. I realize that that is God. I look back at all the times he's revealed himself to me, and blindly I turned away. He's always been knocking, I was just never at the door. Now with renewed faith, I've committed my life to doing the Lord's will and letting him guide my future.
So let me just close this part with just a prayer for all Get Dads and their children, that we might be the role model and that each one of us as fathers might take the role of being the patriarch in our homes on Father's Day today. Father God, we're so grateful for the opportunity that you've given us in families. Lord, I want to thank you so much for my grandson, Karsten. And Father, just thank you for the prayer that you led me to pray. And Lord, his testimony revealed here today that you answered that prayer. So, Father, again, I just pray for all the fathers here, Lord, that they might take the calling, the mantle that you put upon them to be the spiritual leaders in their homes, to pray for their children and to try to speak into their lives so that your will would be fulfilled in their lives, so that the very best thing possible could happen to them. So, again, Lord, I just want to commit this time to these fathers today, that you would use them to impact their families and the rest of this world. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Another aspect of worship is giving. And so we worship through song. We worship through the study of God's word. We worship as we present our lives a holy and acceptable sacrifice to God. And part of that also is giving back to God. that which he's already given to us, our lives, but also the first fruits. And so if you brought a gift for the Lord, or if you've already sent it off, we're just going to go ahead and we're going to pray over those gifts right now. And then we're going to continue in worship, praying over the gifts, but also praying and worshiping in music. So let's pray. God, I thank you for your provision for our lives. God, I thank you for all that you've given to us. You are a father that provides for us, your children. You've given us shelter. You've given us protection. You've given us your presence. You've given us your son, Jesus. God, you are the God that provides. And we want to recognize that and honor you with these gifts. Lord, may they be set apart holy and acceptable for your purposes. May they be used for your kingdom's glory. That every resource that we give back to you, these monies that we give back to you, may they be used to provide for people the gospel and that much more. We thank you for your provision, and we want to worship you now with our voices and our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Honk your horns.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer of God. that he should give his only son to make a wretch our treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. How should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Far and wide.
Entered into your presence this morning. We want to say happy Father's Day to you. And we thank you for your love that is so over the top. And it goes on forever and ever. Thank you for being our dad. Thank you for sending your son so that we could be your children. So we rejoice in your goodness this morning. And we have given you all the honor and glory that is due only to your name. We love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. You know, there is a powerful thing that we can do as parents, but especially as fathers. And that is to offer a blessing to our children. When we think about the power behind the blessing, and I was thinking about that this week, as we take a look at our passage here that's going to be in Numbers chapter 6, verses 23 to 27, I got to thinking about this whole idea of blessing. So I thought, well, I'm going to do a little bit of research. What does it look like for a society to live without a father's blessing? All I got to do is look around. In fact, living without the blessing creates a sense of lostness and loneliness. Living without a father's blessing creates isolation and depression. It creates scenarios where you don't feel like you really belong. In fact, some that are not blessed by their father are not blessed because their father abandoned them. Do you know people like that? Maybe you're one of them, where your father abandoned you and early on, he's not around. Some are not blessed by their fathers because their fathers may be present in the house but disconnected from them. Some are not blessed by the fathers because their fathers really don't know what a blessing is. We have generations that are living now that have never been blessed by their father because their father was never blessed by their father, and so on and so forth. The disconnect of the blessing of the Father has had a great impact upon our society, upon our structure. The absentee fatherism is a tragic, I would say, pandemic in our culture, where fathers are not connected to their children, to their families, In fact, according to the U.S. Census, 19.7 million children, more than one in four children, will live without a father in a home. These children that live without a father have four times greater risk of growing up and living in poverty. They have more of a chance of going to prison, committing a crime. They are seven times more likely to become a pregnant teen. They are more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. Dads, if you don't realize that, just look around our society. Your kids need you. Grandparents, your grandchildren need you. We look at this and we see the presence of the Father is powerful because it does a number of things. But above all, it brings approval. The presence of a father brings about discipline. It brings about structure. It brings about the provision. The presence of a father brings about protection. You think about that. There used to be a day on the schoolyard where kids were proud and they say, well, my dad could beat up your dad. And they would talk about how proud they were of their fathers, but we don't hear that kind of talk today. We think about the presence of the father, and I came across an article about a guy by the name of Pete Rose. He was a famous baseball player years ago, and Pete Rose broke Ty Cobb's longstanding record of the most career hits. So the reporter asked him, as he came around and he rounded the bases and he had hit home plate, the reporter asked me, he says, well, what was the thing that stood out in your mind about breaking Ty Cobb's record? What was the most important thing that you were just, what was that thought that went through your mind? And he said this, I hope that my dad, who is in heaven, is looking down and is proud of me. He could have been thinking about all kinds of different things, new contract, money, prestige, the fans. But the number one thing that he was looking for was the approval of his father. Dads, do you realize that that's what kids want? They want to know that you approve them. In essence, they want to know that your blessing is upon them, that you're connected with them. But I can tell you this, only a father that has received a blessing is able to give a blessing. Only one that has experienced the power of blessing really can give away a blessing to their children. And we're going to be taking a look at that concept of blessing even this morning. If you would, we're going to read our text this morning, as is our practice. If you're able to stand, stand. If you're not, it's kind of hard with, unless you have a sunroof, it ain't going to work for you. But let's take a look at this. In Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27 says this. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the teachings of your word that teaches us the power of blessing. God, you've given us the model of a father blessing his children, and that you have given us a command to bless our children. Lord, may we as fathers step up to the plate. May we own our responsibility and bless our children, that they may bless the generations following us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and let's take a look at, we're going to take a look at what a blessing is, really the definition of blessing. In the Old Testament, the word for blessing is barak. It is the concept of this idea of invoking a blessing or well-being. It was the word that God would use to invoke his blessing upon. It was the blessing of a superior to an inferior. So whenever you see in Old Testament this word blessing, it really means to extend goodness and happiness and provision. You want them to prosper. So if you were to bless somebody using the word barak, you would say, I want you to prosper. I want you to do well. May you do well in everything that you set your hand to. New Testament, it's a different word. There's actually a couple of different words. one of the words is where we get our word eulogy from. And it really means to speak high praise about somebody. Have you ever been to a funeral service memorial where they use the word eulogy? Eulogize. It means to speak praise about that person. Dads, do you realize, and parents all together, how many positive things that you could say to your children instead of negative? It's been said that it takes 7 positive statements to undo 1 negative statement. Do you think our world is in a deficit of positive statements? A deficit of blessing towards others? To be able to speak that blessing? There's a different word in Greek, markizo. Markizo is the same type of word that's used for, like, Barak. It means to impart goodness upon somebody. To be able to be that blessing. So then I got to thinking, okay, so I understand this idea of blessing. It's really God to us, and then by extension, as we'll read later, us to our children. But where does it really begin? Where was the first blessing? You have an idea? I can tell you in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. That's the first blessing that we find, the first correct biblical blessing on record, where God blesses Adam and Eve, his children. Notice in Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 to 31 says this. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky, over every living thing that moves on the earth. God said, behold, I have given you, note provision, every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to every thing that moves on the earth, which has life. I have given every plant, green plant, for food. I guess God originally wanted us to be vegetarians. And it was so. God saw that all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, on the sixth day. What do we see in the first blessing? We see the blessing of goodness and wellness and provision. God says, look, I made all of this for you. I am blessing you with provision. Protection wasn't necessary at that time because the only enemy was really Satan, and he wasn't on scene yet. This is after creation. Presence is there. God had already given him his presence in the creation, was there, but he blessed the family with provision, and that blessing of provision was an act of divine grace. Do you realize that God could have said to Adam and Eve, hey, look it, I made you and I made everything. Now go figure it out. Would that have gone very good? No, because he's a God that blesses them. And so he says, I want to bless you with this blessing. But then that blessing was replaced with a curse. He said, well, how did that happen? Well, God had blessed Adam and Eve and gave them everything, but he said, there's one tree in here that I've provided that I really don't want you to eat from. In fact, I command you not to eat from it. It's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of that tree. I've provided everything. Just don't eat of that tree. If you do that, you will be blessed. You'll be provided for. But if you don't do that, then a curse will be upon you. And the blessing was based on a relationship. We know that Adam and Eve, they fell. They violated that covenant relationship, that blessing, and so a curse came upon them, this thing called sin. And it's their sin that separates us from God's blessing. Do you realize that it is sin that removes you from that place of receiving blessing? What was that sin based on? Disobedience. As parents, it's really hard to bless our children when they're blatantly disobedient. We have to discipline them. We have to correct them. But the basis is of the discipline is to correct them for the purpose of returning to blessing. When we correct and when we discipline as parents, it should always be for the purpose of returning our children back into this place where we can bless them, not to punish them, but to bring them back. So what does God do? God gives a blessing of hope. He gives to Abram a blessing here in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. I'll read it to you. It says this. This blessing, he says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So here God sets a pattern again. But he reaches out to Abram and the disobedient people. He says, Abram, I want to bless you, and it's a blessing of grace. And through you, I'm going to give you a path. I'm going to give all mankind a path to return back to blessing. That blessing is going to be through you, Abraham, and we know by extension it'll be through Christ. Why? Because it's God's desire to bless us as his kids. So we see how God has patterned the correct portrait of a father. To be the father that is always seeking to bless his children, but there's structure within that blessing. And there's a path. And Abram needed to continue in that path, and that path of blessing would be through Jesus. We see a path of blessing that he's given to us in John 14, 6, where Jesus would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Well, what did God do? From the curse in Genesis, he provided a path to return to blessing, and that was through Jesus, his Son. If you return to the Father through the Son, Jesus, you'll return back to that place of blessing where God can do all the things that he wants to do, provide for you, protect you, keep you. He wants to be able to allow his face to shine upon you. He wants to be gracious to you. But if you don't return to God on that path, then you remain in that place of curse. It's God's desire that not anyone should perish, but all should repent and return to that path of blessing. God wants to bless us. God desires to bless us because he is that good, good father. But if you choose to remain in sin, you'll choose to remain separate and abandoned from God, that place. As we read in the statistics earlier, why does blessing not exist right now? Because there's a separation from a father who knows what blessing is and the ability to bless his kids. But I can tell you this, even if your earthly father doesn't come back into the scene, you have a heavenly father that loves you and wants to bless you. And so in order to be blessed, you got to follow the path through Jesus in order to return into that place. So to number six, what does that blessing look like? Fathers, what is it that we can do? Being in that relationship with God, how can we give blessing? Well, God gave to Aaron what we would call the Aaronic blessing. It was the blessing that he would invoke upon the people, upon the sons, the priests, and by extension, the nation of Israel. And as fathers, we're called. Notice here back in number 6, verse 22 and 23, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron, thus you shall bless the sons. Notice it is a command. Fathers, you are commanded by God to bless your children. As the high priest of your home, you're to bless those that are under you. What is that blessing? It's approval. It is a blessing that encourages. It's a blessing that builds up. Question, what would the world be like, the world scene look like, if Esau would have received the same kind of blessing as his brother Jacob? Do you realize that Jacob represents Israel, Esau represents the whole Arab race? And when Esau came for the blessing of his father, the father said, I don't have a blessing for you. And it was from that point on, this hatred and animosity continued on. There was favoritism that was there. There was a standard of cultural blessing of only blessing the firstborn and leaving the others out to dry. As parents of multiple children, you should bless your children, all of them the same, each one unique in their own way within this blessing. But we can see through Esau, the lack of blessing brings about war and it brings about hatred. It brings about this disgust one for another and even resentment against the father. So God says to Aaron, don't do that. Bless all the sons of Israel. And you're blessing them with approval. Whose approval? God's approval. As we read in the narrative here, it was, may the Lord do this. May the Lord bless you. He was invoking not his blessing. Aaron was not invoking the blessing that he had. But as the high priest, he was the mediator, and he is blessing the blessing from God through him to the people. Fathers, you are the conduit of blessing of God the Father in heaven. And it is your role to invoke God's blessing upon your children, that they would be able to do that. It is not your resources by which you bless. It is God's resources by which you bless. You want your kids to know that God approves for them. God takes care of them. God honors them and all of these. So what's the blessing made up of? This is a pattern of blessing. How many of you ever heard of the Lord's Prayer? Do you remember the Lord's Prayer is not really the Lord's Prayer in a sense, but it's a pattern by which we use to pray. I would suggest to you this. The Aaronic blessing that we read in here is not a specific blessing that is to be repeated, but it's a pattern by which we are able to bless other people, especially our children. What is the pattern of the blessing? The blessing is, the first part of the pattern is protection and provision. Notice verse 24. Notice, the Lord, what? Bless you and keep you. The Lord give this blessing of provision. As in Genesis, when God provided all of the trees, all of the plants for food, he says, I'm blessing you with all of this provision. Consider your human life. And when you're praying over your kids, when you're blessing your kids, you're praying that God would bless them, that God would provide for them, that God would take care of them as they're in that right relationship with God. And do you know God will do that? God will honor them with food and clothing and whatever their needs are. You're teaching them that God is the provider of all these things. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 3 says this. The Lord will not allow the, note, righteous to hunger, but he will reject the craving of the wicked. As you bless your kids, you want to encourage them and say, look it, as you follow after the Lord, the Lord's going to provide for you. Is he going to provide for you all the desires of your heart? Not necessarily, but he's going to provide for you the needs, the things that are there. As God provided for Adam and Eve and for Israel, think about Israel in the wilderness. Did they lack for food and water in the wilderness? No. But God did bring them to an end where they knew that they had to turn to God in order for that provision to take place, to seek their Father that is there, to make that provision. The second is protection. God protects his own. Do you realize that Satan cannot touch a child of God unless he goes to God first? It is absolutely impossible for Satan to attack you and for God to go, oops, I didn't see that one coming. Impossible. You are cared for by God. You are protected by God. You are held in the hand of God. John chapter 10, verses 28, 29 says this, and I give eternal life to them. That's a blessing. And they will never perish. That's a blessing. And note, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. That's a blessing. Jesus speaking. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my, note, Father's hand. No one will snatch you out of God's hand. God's got you. And God will protect you. And I can tell you this, my dad can beat up your dad. Because my dad's in heaven. And I'm not talking about my earthly father. I'm talking about my heavenly father. I don't have to worry what the God of this world does. Because God's greater. We think about a story that I came across about a Native American culture and what they would do. And calling a boy up into manhood, it was really the tribe's job or the father's job, but it was the men of the tribe that would call the boy into manhood. And so what they would do in this Native American tribe is they would take the boy out and they would take him out into the wilderness, and then they would blindfold him. And the boy would have to sit blindfolded all night long, without, in total darkness, away from everybody, all by himself. And that was their rite of passage as a man, to be able to do this. So they would take this boy out there and they would blindfold him, young boy. And the account didn't give an age, but I'm assuming it's, you know, like in that 10 to 12 age range. Out in the middle of the woods, and you hear the coyotes and you hear the noises. And you've ever been camping out in the middle of nowhere and you hear things at night, things that go bump in the middle of the night? This boy would have to sit there all night long thinking that he's all alone. The rest of the tribe would say, "We're leaving," and they would all make the big noise and go away, with the exception of one person. The father of the boy would sit at a distance and watch over his son, not letting the son know that he was present. But he was always sitting on the edge in a place of protection. And that's how God is. God is here on the edge, watching us, protecting us, guiding us. When the boy would come to an end of his test, he would know it was the end of the test because the sun would rise and he would feel the heat upon him. Do you know what the first sight would be? The face of his father. To know that his father is present. God's presence and protection is there for us as it's invoked here in this blessing. And then in verse 25, we see two other things. The blessing of presence and grace. Notice it says this: "The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you." With this, we see this blessing that is his face shining. You think about the face of God. And again, this is what's called an anthropomorphism. God doesn't really have a face. He's spirit. But the idea is this idea of his presence where he's looking at you. The glimmering metaphor of God's face that is there. You think about Moses being in the presence of God on Mount Sinai and his face glowing. Why? Because he was in the presence. It's the Shekinah glory that's spoken of in the tabernacle, this divine presence that is there upon them. And so within this, the invoking of the blessing is, may God's Shekinah glory be upon you. May you experience the radiance of his glory. Have you ever experienced the radiance of God's glory? Where you're just sitting there and you just know that God is there? That is a blessing when your heart just is warmed by that presence. The psalm writer Asaph would write in Psalm 80, verse 19, "O Lord God of hosts, restore us. Cause your face to shine upon us, and we will be saved." You think about the disobedient child. There was many times when I messed up as a kid growing up. And I blew it. And you know, the last person that I wanted to see was the face of my dad. I could deal with mom. I could deal with teachers. I could deal with anybody. But the face of dad, oh, that was dangerous. Because you knew something bad was going on. And he knew it. I would rather have his face shine upon me than be dim. The blessing of grace, as he says, and be gracious towards us. Grace, it's the attitude of extending kindness. We're praying that the blessing of God's grace would be upon our kids. Dads, do you know that you could be gracious towards your kids and be a blessing to them and develop that gracious relationship? What does that look like? That's kindness. That's gentleness. That's being in this place of encouragement. It's interesting else. Grace is not something that is a reaction to obedience or disobedience. Do you realize that? We don't earn grace. Grace is a gift. As I've said before, grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is a gift that is extended towards us. Dads, we need to be gracious towards our kids. And they need to long for that gracious gift. And God's gracious gift is based on hesed, loving kindness. To be in that place regardless of what the kids do. Your kids are going to frustrate you, aren't they? I don't know of a kid that doesn't frustrate a dad. And there is a gender-specific frustration that happens. It is young teenage boys with their fathers. Girls have their own category and they can melt a dad. But when you got a young boy that is just being obnoxious, it is really hard to be gracious to them. You would rather lay the hands of judgment upon them than rather give them grace. But we want to bless them with grace. Why? Because God's been gracious towards us. Remember, you're blessing them, not with the blessing that's from you, but the blessing that you've received from the Father through you to them. And so we want to extend that blessing of grace. We want to pray the blessing of grace. And the Father's blessing of the child is much like the blessing of God. Do you realize that God blesses you based on His self-determined will? Let that soak for a minute. God's blessing upon you is not based on what you do or how good or how bad you are. God's blessing upon you is based on His self-determined will. In other words, God says, I will bless them because I choose to bless them, not based on anything else, which is tremendous and it's very freeing. As a child of God, I know that if God blesses me based on His self-determined will, there's nothing I can do to enhance that grace, to get more of it. And there's nothing that I can do to have that grace be any less. It is God's self-determined will to pour out tremendous grace. And it's for by grace that you've been saved, not of works. And it's through your faith, trusting in God in that relationship, that we are in that place. In Exodus chapter 33:19, God would say this, I myself will make my goodness pass before you, will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. Why? Because God is sovereign. And in the same way, fathers need to be gracious towards their children. Two more pairs of blessing are found in verse 26. Notice it says this in verse 26. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Countenance. What is countenance? It's an old word. We don't use it an awful lot. We know that Cain was warned when he was threatening to take Abel's life. And he says, why is your countenance fallen? It's your facial demeanor. May God's countenance shine upon you. Literally, may God smile upon you. God smiling upon you is His expression of pleasure. Have you ever seen your kids do something and you just had this well up of a grin? This pride where you looked at them and there was just like this inner smile that had to come out? And then they look at you and they go, what are you smiling at? Oh, you're just making me laugh. To be able to be proud and to have that countenance pour out with smiling. What does that do for a child when he sees or she sees their dad smiling upon them? It warms their heart. It knows that they're cared for. It knows that they're recognized. It knows that they're known. So the child knows that God sees what's going on through you. You can say, you know what? You're making God smile right now. That's how you can pass this blessing on, to be able to make them know that God's happy with them. We see that in the relationship of Jesus and His Father. Matthew 3:17 says this, and behold, a voice came out of heaven. This is my beloved son in whom I am what? Well pleased. Do you know God was bragging on Jesus right there when he was getting ready to go into ministry? He was baptized and he was following suit with what, out of obedience, what the Father had asked him to do. And the Father says, I'm going to brag on you now. And I know as a dad, I brag on my kids all the time. I've got great kids. They make me proud. Letting them know that. And let them know that you're smiling upon them. It's that smile of affirmation, of encouragement. But in the same way, a frowning father can discourage the kids. That father that is always walking around grumpy, never a smile, never affirming, never encouraging. It'll drive the kids away. It'll break the relationship. Fathers, we need to let our kids know that we're proud of them. In fact, I would venture to say, find something new every day to let your kids know that you're proud of them. In the same manner that you would find something new every day to let your spouse know that you love them. This is one of the strongest blessings that you can give to somebody. And he says, and give you peace, verse 26. What is this peace? Is peace the absence of conflict? No. Peace here, it means it's shalom. It means wholeness. And may God bless you with his peace or his wholeness, the completeness, that idea of blessing, health and wholeness and peace. The only way that you can bless them with peace is to give them Jesus. How do we know that? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says this, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of what? Peace. The blessing that you can give from God to them is Jesus, because he is the peace of God that passes all understanding. The peace that will keep them whole all the way through the tribulations and trials in their life. Because as a parent, you know that your kids are going to get trashed in this world, right? Things are going to happen. How are they going to make it through it? Only the peace of God, which is Jesus Christ. In John 14:27, we see that Jesus is that conduit of peace, where Jesus himself says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Do you realize that by giving them Jesus, Jesus is bringing the peace of the Father to the children? That is the greatest thing. Make sure your kids know Jesus. Bring them to church. Study the Word. Pray together. The blessing of peace will keep them long after you go away, because Jesus is the one that keeps them. The last one that we see here in verse 27 is family. It's the blessing of belonging. Notice this where he says, so they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I will bless them. Letting your kids know that they belong to family. We have a lost generation. We do. We've had multiple lost generations. Do you know why gangs are so prevalent? Do you know why cliques and cultures and groups of kids all gang together and they crowd surf away from the homes? And then they go and they are one crowd here, and then they surf over to the next one. They surf over to the next one. They just kind of do whatever they're going to do. And these kids all move around. Do you know why? Because that particular culture makes them feel more like family than their family within their house. The culture of cluster is creating more sense of a family than the family even within the home. They need to know that they belong. And as God says here, put my name upon them. Let them know that they belong. Let them know that they have a heritage, that they're in this place of being God's kids. Notice it says this, by putting the name on, then what you're putting on is not your name, but the name of God. Revelation chapter 22, verse 4 says this. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There is one name that matters, and it's not your last name. It's the name of God. The ownership of God. The family of God. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God adopts you into his family. And he puts his name, which is above every other name, on you. And you belong. You belong to the family of God. Adopted. Never to be rejected. It is a blessing for those that have been adopted into loving families. Out of foster care, or maybe their parents couldn't take care of them, or whatever the situation might be. But adopted into a family. Because those kids now have a home. They have a name. They have a place. They know where they belong. There's always the question of, well, what about my other parents and all of these things? I can tell you this, that'll bring security. God has loved you as your father since before the earth began. And God has been wanting to put his name upon you as your loving father since before the earth began. And he's been waiting for you to come to be, and then in that being, to see him as your father and accept his love, so that he might put his name upon you and adopt you to be his child, a child of faith. Paul similarly would write in his letters to everyone who accepted the Lord as his children of faith. Those that have accepted Jesus are born into the family of God, all brothers and sisters, children of faith. The power of blessing is huge because the power of blessing connects heart to heart. And fathers, we need to bless our children. Parents, we need to bless our children. Moms, maybe you're here and you have a kid who's got a dad that's not around. And you might say, well, how can my child be blessed? Give them Jesus. Let them know their heavenly Father. To encourage them. To strengthen them. To give them that blessing of provision, protection. So that they would know the blessing of grace, affirmation, the blessing of belonging. The power of invoking a blessing will save a child's life. Both in this world and in the world to come. It's powerful. What we're going to do right now is something unique. I'm going to encourage you to do this. I'm going to encourage you, if you have your children that are here and you're a parent, whether you're dad or not, if your dad's especially, I want you to do this. I'm going to ask that you would gather around your children right now, wherever they're at. And if you're watching this on Facebook or on YouTube, gather them around. If your kids are not here, you can still participate. I want you to gather around right now, wherever they're at. Get close by, because I'm going to ask that you would pray over them. And again, if your kids are not here, then you can just pray this prayer, or pray a prayer of blessing over them. And as I pray these words, you can say them out loud. You can pray that blessing as we pray this blessing over them from your heart of hearts, and God will respond in invoking his blessing through you as conduit. I'm going to ask that you would lay hands on them to be able to touch them. And I know there's some people moving around to get to that spot. They might be in a different place. Let's pray this prayer. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. The Lord give you peace. Now take a moment on your own and pray over your kids, after which we'll close with a praise song.
Words that you've been praying over your children. Now I invite you to allow us as a worship team to sing these words over you. Some of you may know this song, but just receive these words as our blessing to you. And this song that we're going to be singing is to each other. And so in a minute, I'm going to ask you to turn to people, whether it's just through the window or whatever, and pray this. Sing this blessing upon the people that are next to you, but for a moment, just receive this blessing.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you. Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you.
Your turn now, sing.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and your children, and the children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, he is for you.
We praise you and we thank you. You're amazing and kind. You are the good, good Father that has blessed us with all of these blessings. And may we pass these blessings on to the next generation and the generations following. May they know that the blessings of God brings about peace and provision and presence and power. God, we thank you for all that you've given to us. Now as we go out, may we live our lives in a way that makes you smile. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Praise Jesus and honk your horns.
In the study of God's Word with Pastor Kerry Wacker. We'd love to have you join us in person for worship each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. We also meet Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. Warren Community Fellowship is located at 56523 Columbia River Highway in Warren, Oregon, between Scappoose and St. Helens. For more information about Warren Community Fellowship or about WCF Ministries, call us at 503-397-4387. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.